we continue our study from the Gospel of Matthew. We start in chapter 26. This section of scripture is entitled The King's Preparation. The King's Preparation. We are now in the period in which Jesus himself is preparing to go to the cross. And his final week here on earth, leading up to the cross. Let me give you an outline, a suggested outline for Matthew chapter 26. We see the location of Matthew 26 begins in Bethany. And we see worship versus waste, worship versus waste in verses 1 through 16. You'll notice Mary in verse 7, who comes to Jesus to anoint his feet with oil, with the fragrant oil. Then we'll notice Judas and his plot to turn Jesus over to the religious rulers in verses 8 and 9. And then we'll see Jesus when he announces that one of them, one of the disciples, would betray him. The second section is in the upper room, where we see faithfulness versus betrayal in verses 17 through 30, where Jesus prepares along with the disciples for the Jewish Passover feast, which was traditional, and then he would take and again announce the betrayal in verses 20 through 25. He will also institute the Lord's Supper, which we know today, in verses 26 through 30. That brings us to the third section, where he moves to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we see submission versus resistance. Submission versus resistance in verses 31 through 56, where we see the disciples' failure was announced, that you will all scatter, you will all depart. And you know what we always say as humans? I will never. And never is a short term. We should be very careful using the word never, because you never know when you're going to find yourself in that situation. Amen. We also see Jesus' surrender accomplished in verses 36 through 46, where that transaction, he is wrestling with his assignment. Father, is there any other way that we can do this? And then he would make that statement, nevertheless, not what I will, what Joel will be done, submission. We will also discover in Matthew 26 and throughout the Bible that Jesus was not killed. Jesus gave himself, gave his life on the cross in his time. And we'll see that God's providential care for his son. We also see that all of these events in Matthew 26 were prophesied in the Old Testament and Scripture. So none of these things happened by chance. Everything that happened to Jesus was prophesied, and it happened in time, on time. We'll also see the arrest achieved in verses 47 through 56, where Jesus will be taken and go through a series of trials. A series of trials. He was betrayed and taken before man, and on trumped up charges, we would say, these days. He didn't have a lawyer on earth, but his father knew all these things, and Jesus himself, he surrendered himself without a gun being fired, without a riot, without any resistance. Jesus gave himself because he knew his purpose, that he was born to die. Jesus was born to die. And so, we will also look at the, in review, this chapter is a continuation of our study in the life of Christ. They are called the 8 days that changed the world. 8 days that changed the world. We'll look at in the next chart. On Sunday, Jesus entered the city in triumph. You remember that began the day that his glory was manifested. On Monday, we studied he cursed the fig tree. And because this fig tree, yet it did not bear any figs. He also cleansed the temple. How many times did Jesus cleanse the temple in Scripture? How many times did Jesus cleanse the temple in Scripture? Twice. Remember, we studied that Jesus cleansed the temple twice. Because, why did he do it? Because it should have been used for worshiping God, but it wasn't. And that was the day of power. That was the day of power. On Tuesday was a long day fulfilled with controversy over his authority, over the resurrection of the dead against, and over the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God. How much? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Yes? And at the end of the day, Jesus asked a question that ended all controversy. He was asked, whose son is the Messiah? The reply was quickly, the son of David. And he said, why then does David call him Lord? And from that point on, no one dared ask him any more questions. When Tuesday was over, he went back to the city of Bethany, to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. How do we know that? We'll study that out. Who was Mary? Why was she significant in Scripture? And we see her devotion to the Lord as well, her great devotion to the Lord. Again, we said on Saturday, he came in his triumphal entry. The supper was prepared for him. On the Sunday, he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey. The crowd shouted, Hosanna. Remember, we studied that. And there were weeks he wept over Jerusalem. On Monday, he cursed the fig tree and cleansed the temple for the second time. Tuesday was his last day in the temple. His authority was challenged by the Sanhedrin, and we studied these parables of the two sons, the vineyard, the marriage feast, the 10 virgins, and the 10 talents. Yeah? And he was also questioned about paying tribute to Caesar. The Gospel of Matthew is not in chronological order. The Gospel of Matthew is not in chronological order, as you will notice. He also was questioned about the resurrection and asked what was the greatest commandment and how could David's son be his Lord. There was fearful denunciation of the scribes and the Pharisees. You remember those 8 rules that we studied? An observation, he observed the widow giving her 2 mites also, and his final departure from the temple. On Wednesday, he spent his time in silence. It is not recorded, as far as scholars can find, no one single thing had occurred on this day that was recorded. On the following day, the Thursday, he would not sleep until he had slept in his bed on Friday. For 40 hours or more, he did not sleep. He would engage in a struggle with the devil for the victory of the souls of mankind. It was therefore logical that he would need a day of silence and preparation and thought for the coming struggle. Perhaps he spent this day with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and the 12, as they thought, prayed, and gave comfort to one another in seclusion. Perhaps, as was often the case, Jesus simply went to a quiet place where no one could be or would be, and commune with the Father in silence as preparation for the great day of challenge to come. Regardless of what happened, on that day Jesus was ready, because on Thursday was the day of fellowship with his disciples, and in the account, he ate the Last Supper, he predicted Peter's denial, Judas's betrayal, and prayed and agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas betrayed him, and he would be arrested on Thursday. And so Thursday was the Apostles' Day of preparation and fellowship with him. Notice the Passover meal or feast in Matthew chapter 26, which we'll study. Notice the preparation for and the eating of the Passover feast, and also notice the prefiguring of the great feast of the Lord's Supper that we partake of every Sunday. And so, Saturday, his body would be in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and Sunday was the resurrection, where they would say he is risen, and began his post-resurrection appearances to many in preparation for his ascent back into heaven. So, the period of passion, the day a week that changed the world and still is to be remembered even today. Let us read Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Can someone read verses 1 through 5? Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5.
Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days of Passover, the Son of Man will be lifted up to be crucified." And the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the house of the high priest, who was called
Caiaphas,
and wanted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. And they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people."
In my Bible, I have written a number of P's, the letter P. Yeah? And as I go through, I will put them on the screen for you, a number of P's that take place in the Gospel of Matthew. And so we see the Passover feast prefiguring the Lord's Supper here in Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 2. Came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days it's a Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." To be crucified. And so Jesus said that he would be crucified the day before the Passover. If the Jews had their way, they would have taken him outside of the city, put him in the valley, and thrown huge stones upon him until he was dead. That was how they treated their most hated criminals. That's how the Jews, you remember, stoned to death. That was capital punishment. However, the Jews did not have their way. It had been prophesied that the Son of Man would be hung upon the tree. He must. It was necessary for him who knew no sin to be made sin and curse all mankind. Chapter 21, verse 23 says in part, "His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, for he who is hanged is accursed of God." So Jesus not only predicted the time of his death, but he also predicted the nature of his death in contradiction to the way the Jews normally would kill a criminal. And verses 3 says, "The chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, and who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery." Some translations say by deception. And they, in verse 5, says, "But they said, not during the feast." Why? "Lest there be an uproar among the people." We don't want to cause any trouble during the festival. We don't want the trouble. See? And so the plan, there's a second P, to kill Jesus. Who were the people that were gathered to consider what to do? They were the rulers, the chief priests, the elders, the high priests, the religious and national rulers of Israel gathered to consider what to do with their Messiah. They could not catch Jesus in sin. They could not catch him in a lie. They could not kill him. Over and over, they tried to catch Jesus and have some charge against him. So they gathered in the palace of the high priest, a noble and significant place. And how were they going to kill Jesus? Well, we already know that. The Bible in the NIV says in Matthew, it says, in some sly way. Yeah? That's in verse 4. In the Greek, the word is dolo. Normally meant the trapping of an animal. One will set a snare with bait and then hide and watch as things unfolded. Sly was a good word. They say slyly prepared for Jesus' capture, or his capture. They were not going to be open in their arresting of Jesus, nor would they be honest in their own way and words. They were not going to be honest in the trial. What's necessary for a good outcome in a trial? What's one of the main things you need in a trial?
An honest judge.
Honest judge, and what else? Begins with an E.
Evidence.
Yeah. You got any evidence? If you don't have any evidence, we don't have a case. We don't have a case. And so they would make their own evidence. Unfortunately. He's doing the same thing twice. And so the third P, the proposal. The proposal. Verse 6, when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his feet as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my wife, burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And so Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, is out of order chronologically. It happened earlier. It contains the story of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with precious ointment, and it contains Judas's condemnation. Only John identified this woman as Mary. Gospel of John, chapter 12, identifies this woman as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She is found only three times in the Gospels, and in each instance, she's at the feet of Jesus. First, she sat at his feet and listened to the word in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You remember the story when Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and where was Martha? She was back in the kitchen, getting the biscuits, getting going. She had all that food, pots going. And what did Martha say to Jesus? "You better get Mary back here and help me with these, with this food." And what did Jesus say? "Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Don't you know that worship comes before work? Did you know that? Worship comes before work." Amen. That's why Sunday worship comes before Monday work. And some of us have it the wrong way around. Some of us have our priorities wrong. We want to make, working for the King is not as important as worship with the King. Amen. And so, it was Mary again as she came to his feet in sorrow after the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse number 28. And what did Jesus say? She came running. Who came running to Jesus? Who came running? Martha. And what was Mary? You should have been here. You could have stopped this. And here she worshiped at his feet when she anointed him with the ointment in John chapter 12. Look at that, John chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "And 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Then they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and washed and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas, we're going to get to him. Judas. But here, let's talk about Mary, first of all.
Mary was a deeply spiritual woman. She found at his feet her blessings. She bore to his feet her burdens. And she gave at his feet her what? His best.
You know, some of us only come to Jesus when we got a problem. When there's a crisis. But here was Mary worshiping, and she reverenced Jesus. She gave Jesus her best. Always gave Jesus her best, and she was not ashamed to do it. We may not have everything but we have something. Remember, we said we have, all of us have three things. What are those three things? All of us got what? Time. All of us got a talent, and all of us have a treasure. Huh? What do you bring? Sometimes we say we don't have time, and we're using our talent elsewhere, and we're using our treasure elsewhere. She bought to Jesus, the Bible says, very costly oil. Costly. It was an act of love and devotion that bore fragrance, the Bible says, to the whole house. Instead of anointing his body after his death, she did so what? Before his death. You ever heard that expression, give me my roses before I die? Some of us wait until something happens, a crisis happens, somebody's gone, say, well, I should have treated that person. Huh? John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. How much do we love each other? How much do we show our love to one another? How much do we love Jesus? Huh? You can't say you love Jesus unless you demonstrate it. John 5 and 8 says what? God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners. Huh? So here was Martha. She gave Jesus her best. And she was right there. And so we see in the text, in Matthew 26, when she gave this oil, verse number 8 says, for when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, they were mad. They said, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. Now, the disciples did not know the character of Judas. His criticism of Martha sounded so spiritual. Look at John 12. You don't see Judas here in Matthew 26, but look at John 12 that you were reading. John chapter 12. And someone read verse 4 to 8.
But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you will always have with you. You will not always have me.
Thank you. Now here in Matthew 26, and verse number 8 says, for when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But it was Judas. It was Judas who started this. The disciples did not know the character of Judas. His criticism of Mary sounded so spiritual. And guess what happened? All the other disciples joined in attacking her. You better be careful who you support. Huh? He said, man, you know, Judas is the money man. He's the treasurer. You know, he would know that we're not going to waste the money. And they're getting on board with it. But why did Judas say that? Why did Judas say that? We know the real reason he wanted the anointing on the soul. The money would go into the treasury and he would be able to use it. Huh? To do what? To steal it. Judas was not only a disciple, but he was also a thief. Huh? And he was right on up there with Jesus. You know, we can look. You look. We can't see each other. How about we just started there on Thursdays? From the party for the Thursday class, we talk about God knows what. I don't know what's in your heart, but your actions tell what's in your heart. You see that? So Judas said all the right things, he was in the right places, he was doing all the right things, but in his heart, he was betraying Jesus. Huh? Yes.
How did you become the leader of the best? I mean, I took your step out from the open world. How did you become the leader of the best?
Yes.
Compared to excess opportunity.
Okay.
Some of us in the church today, we do the same thing that you do, even though we are not stealing.
Yes.
Even though we are not stealing. We see you as if you are doing things.
Okay.
So how do you compare me to the balance? When I'm doing my best with the Lord, and someone else beside me seems as if you are going too much. So how do you balance the issue that when we are doing things with the Lord, you do not annoy others with our own good mind?
Okay. So we started the parable of the talents. The answers in the scriptures, the parable of the talents. All of us have how many talents?
At least one.
And God gives us our talents according to what?
Our ability.
So we should not become intimidated. We should not become discouraged when someone else is exercising their gift. However, somebody may think they have a gift, but that's not their gift. Isn't that right? I might think I'm a soul leader. Amen, but I'm not a soul leader. So I get love. I said, brother, remember when in the book of Exodus, when Moses was trying to judge all those people, and his father-in-law Jethro came to him and said to him, "Well, you're going to wear yourself up. You need to delegate that authority." Yes. So he thought he was doing a good thing. What wisdom says sometimes. So we have to keep an open mind. And also because of our heart as well. Sometimes, just like we just saw about Mary and Martha. Martha was back there cooking for the king. She was giving out the cake and bread, and she was doing all of that back there. And here was Mary.
Mary's sitting up, just recalling and sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha says, "She got to get that here."
And Martha feels himself, I'm working hard. I got the right to complain about this sister because she's not helping me. What did Jesus say? He has chosen the what? The good part. So sometimes you can wear us. You ever get weary? Tired? Yeah. You seem like you're doing everything and nobody else is recognizing it, nobody knows it. You won't get that way sometimes. Well, who are we working for? Do not let your good be evil spoken. So we have a responsibility to work. Work should always be for the king, because Matthew 6:33 says what? But seek ye first what? But what do we seek first? Work. That's not the king. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. We seek after things instead of the kingdom. Yes? So, what may be healed?
We read that scripture, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says what? 2 Corinthians says what? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. What else? Should also reap bountifully.
That each one deal as he purposes where? In his heart. So my giving is a reflection of my heart. For God says what? What does the scripture say? For God loves a cheerful. So if you love God, what do you see to be? That's what the scriptures say. Well, how are we to deal? Cheerfully. If I don't deal, I don't love God. And I'm not cheerful. Now, you may not have money to give to God. That's get back to that. You might not have money this week, but you got a ball, time. Where are you spending your time? You're spending your time on yourself. Right? The Lord says, come. You know what he says? Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me. That's what the book says. But when he says come, he says not today. Not today. So, buy gifts or to enhance your gift. Because we're all parts of the body. Yeah? And so when we're working sincerely, and sometimes somebody needs to come and say, you need to slow down, bro. Or you need to pick it up because you're not doing enough. You need that, don't you? Yeah? Yes, brother.
We send the word of pizza.
Yes.
Judas.
Yes.
In the scheme of something.
Yes.
And when Jesus was the disciples, he commissioned them to go preach.
Yes.
And he gave them powers to do miracles. And we just think that Judas was the king.
Yeah.
Definitely Jesus knew that.
Yes.
Was the choice of actually picking Peter, you know, a function of the fact that he was going to betray Jesus, or
good question. Everything we do, there's a choice.
Choice.
Yeah. Sin is a choice. Obedience is a choice. Salvation is a choice. Huh? Is that right? So, we will see, Brother Paul, when Jesus is, when we observe the Lord's Supper, he said, one of you will betray me. What was that? What did Jesus say there? He's given what? Opportunity. Opportunity. Huh? Because you and I can't, you don't know my heart. I don't know your heart, but as we say it, our actions. Yeah? Sin is a choice. It's a choice. So even though Jesus knew what Judas would do, what Peter would do, he gave them opportunity to do what? What's the opportunity for? To repent. To change. Every day you wake up is an opportunity to change. Isn't that right? He's give us all time. 24 hours a day. You say, well, in Texas, I got 24 and a half hours. Huh? No, it's 24 hours over there. 24 hours over here. You see that? So,
right,
yes. Yes.
We have two comments from two different people, the disciples and Christ.
Yes.
And I see the disciple said, when the disciples saw it,
yes,
they were ignorant.
Yes.
Saying, why this was.
Yes.
And that the front of Christ in verse 10.
Yes.
When God was aware of the intention,
yes,
he said to them, why do you call this woman?
Yes.
For he has done a good work
for me. Yes.
So I want to balance it up. In a place where I was, whereby I went for crazy things. Sometimes we need a forgiveness.
Yes.
We try our best to see that person has total remorse. We want to watch him as total remorse. He might be forgiven for it, but we be also forgive the person.
Yeah.
So these are the areas I want us to see to it and see the balance of it. When someone does things,
yeah,
we as, because we are human.
Yes.
You thought that he don't know there. Who are you? Where do you come from? Let us be realistic and practical.
Yeah.
Where do you come from?
Yeah.
What you are doing was too much extreme or excess. Why are you doing this way? Why are you doing this way? Our nature of the intention of the astral presence, like when we are praying to God for something, We pray for God that God give me things that can be for the benefit of the church.
Yes, yes.
Because like we are preaching and saying that whatever God gives to us is not ours.
Yeah.
It's for God.
Yeah.
The thing we have, is for the Lord, and like I have a lot of people to my book.
Yes.
Now, some of us think as if you're overdoing.
Mm.
But the benefit of waste
yeah.
is overdoing.
Yeah.
It's excess
yeah.
or extreme.
Yeah.
So that area, I want us to look into, we're going to find it now. So I can give us a clear vision of where we are heading to.
Mm.
So when I'm doing something for the Lord, no matter the crisis, no matter the talk, no matter whatever now, there's no one to move me.
Yes.
As long as I have a clear mind that what I'm doing
yes.
is not of a negativity or a thing that whatever that can hurt others, but for the Lord.
Yes.
But it's only the Lord that moves my heart. People can identify me, they don't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
That was like me, personal like me. Mm-hmm. I don't expect to even listen to me.
Yeah.
I have a little that you don't understand me now in nature will change me in the future.
Yeah.
I always come to work with that nature.
Yeah.
That is, if I'm going to you don't understand, something will come in later in the future to be to write to me that way. What this guy is saying, but the language we are coming from is different.
Mm-hmm.
When you view a building now, the handle of your position. Different from the hand of God is doing it. I'm doing it that is wrong. But you are doing it on the other side of the building that what I'm saying is right. We may not understand ourselves. So, and this is why I'm asking us to look into it. Maybe another day of classes so we can have understanding of what we are doing. You have to be God. Not just come here and for a business of our own, or come here and just do it ourselves. But it's time to the Lord to worship the way you want us to worship Him.
Yes. So, that's where wisdom is necessary. So, you know, whenever we do something or make a decision to do something, we should pray for wisdom. Lord, show me what I must do with this. Lord, give me the right ability to discern whether this is a good work or not, you see. And so, because again, you and I cannot read each other's hearts. Yeah. So sometimes I might be doing something big and unsincere. That was Saul of Tarsus. Until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. So he did what he did in persecuting the church, he did that sincerely. Until truth showed up. And even for us, you and I may be doing things or saying things that are not in line with the Word of God. But when truth shows up, because we're never going to know. You see, you give something in out of sincerity, force someone to try to do something, and it backfires. But the key is, what was your intent? You see, what was my intent? My intent was to try to relieve some burden for someone, to bring cheer, to offer aid, that sort of thing. And so, the key is that we demonstrate. Yeah. And when we're not sure, the best thing to do is not. Yeah, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Lord, show me what I must do. I've got this morning. I want to know which direction or what to do with it. Show me what I must do. And then God will always give us what? Opportunity. He will open the door. Or He'll close the door. And He will say, now I understand. You see? So, good question. Good question. And so, even with Judas was right there. Jesus knew he would be betraying, but he must allow us free will. Yeah, you don't pray to God, Lord, shall I wear the blue pants or the black pants? God, be said up to you to decide. That makes sense. So that's where we have the wisdom discern. You just get on with the business. But when it comes to spiritual matters. When you're not sure, we need to pray for wisdom. If anyone lack wisdom, James says, let him what? Ask of God. And He will give us how much? Liberally, above and beyond. But what's our problem? We make decisions and then pray to God to get on board with our decisions. You know what happens? And so, man, that didn't work out. Huh? It said, pray and then do. Huh? Faith without works. Is there. Yeah? So let's take this point, then we're going to wrap it up. for today. So what occurred here is very interesting. One of Jesus' own, one whom he had chosen, one in whom he had invested 3.5 years, was to betray. Regardless, he went and bargained with the chief priests. He asked in verse 15, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? Huh? Have you ever betrayed Jesus? Every last one of us in here have been a Jew. Huh? You say, well, how could Judas? All of us have been Jews at some point. We made a lot of promises at that baptism. I say Jesus is Lord, yes, Jesus is Lord, I'm going to be faithful from here on, and I would never, here I am. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. I'm back, Lord, huh? I'm sorry to bother you, Lord. It's me again, huh? They gave him how much? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. That was not a big sum as far as lifetime was concerned, but it was not a small sum either. It was a month's pay. This fulfills Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 12, which says, and he said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages. If not, refrain. So they paid up for my wages 30 pieces of silver. So it was prophesied.
That's the price of a slave.
Yep. What's that?
It's the price of a slave.
You read this lesson. All right, we'll get there. Therefore, Judas was willing for 1 month's pay to see the Lord to his death. And so, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, the Bible says, if the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Exodus 21, 32. It's interesting that 30 pieces of silver is the price of a person's, if a person's ox gored the servant of another, the owner of that ox had to pay 1 month's salary. What that might have been for that slave. In this case, it was 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was given 1 month's pay. He was getting the price that would be paid to a master for the servant who was gored by someone else's ox. He was also paid in advance. Judas was paid in advance. They gave him the money, and they began to wait for an opportunity to turn Jesus over. He was not only trusted by Jesus, but he was also trusted by the enemy. They knew Judas was not what he said because they knew his character. He had a love for money, and also he was a betrayer. 1 month's salary, 1 month's wage. Romans 6:23 says, well, for the wages of sin is death. Well, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This puts a new spin on that verse. The wages of sin. Paid and handed over. And so, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They ever see that? People start off. It's not how you start. It's how you end. Huh? We start off a bang. Man, I'm gonna fire for Jesus. Can you remember the day you were baptized? Do you remember how you felt that day? You're on fire for Jesus. But then life happens. For the love of money. It's a root. Not the love of, not money. The love of money. And some have strayed from the faith. I know a lot of people. And don't never say never now. Never say never. Huh? How much are you worth? How much does someone need to pay you to betray Jesus? That's what the disciples Made a lot of promises. I made a lot of promises. How many of us made a promise that we haven't kept? Promise the Lord, Lord, that this is the last time. I will never, Lord, if you get me out of this mess. See, this is for free. Instead of asking God to get you out of trouble, maybe you need to ask the Lord to get trouble out of you. That's a different prayer. Instead of asking God to get you out of trouble, Lord, get the trouble out of me. Because the heart of the matter is a what? It's a matter of the heart. You don't know my heart. But our actions show us what's really in our heart sometimes. See? And so next week, verse 17, we'll talk about the preparation for the Lord's Supper and the observation of the Lord's Supper. We read these scriptures just about every Lord's Day, but there's a lot more in there. There's a lot more in there. We look at it from a Jewish mindset. Because Jesus, the Lord's Supper is more than just a part in the Sunday worship. It has a significance. It looks forward to today, but it also looks forward to Jesus' coming. Jesus says, "What? Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father, we so thank